Veronica Copenhaver says you'll get a lot out of memorizing scripture, even if you start small.
Even if it takes you one verse and it takes you a whole year to memorize it, that's one more verse than you had last year, and you have no clue how God will use it.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of A Place of Quiet Rest, for Friday, December 30th, 2016.
Here in the Revive Our Hearts studio this morning, recording some programs with my husband, and we just finished recording a program, and we turned around and looked out the window, and there were a whole bunch of little ones. Mm-hmm. One of our staff members came through. He lives a few hours away, came through with his wife and kids, and his sister-in-law mm-hmm. and her kids are here, Veronica mm-hmm. Copenhaver, and we just met for the first time, and you started telling me, Veronica, about your love for Revive Our Hearts, and I said, can you walk in the studio and let's talk about it for a few minutes? So thank you for letting me put you on the spot.
Thank you. I'm a little nervous, but
and
we'll
all
go
the way
with it.
From Alaska.
Yes.
Your husband's a pastor there.
Yep.
And you're here in the Midwest visiting
yes.
family. You said that you've been listening to Revive Our Hearts since we first went on the air 15 years ago. How did you come across it?
I don't remember for sure, but when I was getting ready in the morning to go to work, I was a school teacher before having kids. I would just, from 6:30 to 7 every morning, that was my routine, to get ready and listen to Nancy. And I was pretty consistent and faithful. And then you threw out the challenge to memorize scripture, and you were working through Philippians, and I was listening to that. I'm like, oh, I could do that. I had random verses memorized that I went through, but that only took 10, 15 minutes. And I was like, ooh, I think I could do a whole book. And so I emailed Eric and Brian and my other sister, Jenna, and my parents. He said, hey, let's do a family challenge of memorize the book of Philippians. And Eric and Brian wrote back and went, oh, we already have that memorized.
Like, now, Brian is on our staff. He heads up our web and digital department. So he was familiar with this challenge, but it sounds like you made it
a
little more
personal. Yeah, they hadn't shared the fun challenge. And so I'm like, okay, fine. Well, the rest of us can do it. So we started with Philippians, and then – and my husband was involved, and then we went to the sermon.
Wait. Philippians, how long did that take?
5 months.
So you really spent some time
on
it.
We did – we all have our different routine now. Uh-huh. My sister and I, Jenna, are accountability partners with it. So we do about a verse a day. We try to. Eric and Brian and my parents all have their own little routine.
So a verse a day, and then you're just reviewing the...
And then review a chapter for about a week, and then start the next chapter, and then review for about a week when the whole book's done. We're up to 9 books, I think, memorized.
Wow.
So now we review and slow down a little bit more just to make it stick. But we review everything, try to, every week.
And we is you and your sister?
Me and Jenna, yeah. I'm the oldest out of 3 girls. Erica's our middle sister, and then Jenna's our little sister. And we're very close. I'm thankful for technology so we can email and text every day. But 6 years ago, when we started this, we were still just emailing. And I heard the challenge of memorizing Philippians, and I contacted my whole family and emailed all of them and said, hey, let's do this together as a family thing, a family challenge. My husband, my 2 sisters, my brother-in-law, and then my parents, and Eric and Brian already had theirs done, and which is fine. And Jenna said, let's do it. And Jenna and I tend to be, we're 5 years apart, and we tend to be a little competitive with each other. We've had.
So you're using that to good advantage.
That's a good advantage. She lived with my husband and I for 3 months. We had water drinking challenges, and we have workout challenges, and we're always just... we have a good competitive edge together. So I said, let's do Philippians. Nancy said Philippians, so we'll just go with that. And she said, great. So we started the next day, and there was no hesitation, and we have continued to stay with each other. And we'll text and say, hey, I need another day on today's verse. And okay, that's fine, or I didn't get it. Can you wait for me? And it's good accountability to keep us on track, because there's times I'm ready to quit. You get to a part where you go, I'm just not getting it. It's not sticking. And it's so nice because God's so good. If she's getting it, I'm not. And when I'm getting it, she's not. So we can keep each other going. No, you can't quit. Come on. Here's what I did. And she lives in Tennessee and I live in Alaska. And it's over texting and email and phone calls that we figure it out. And we'll take times and go, okay, are you done? She's like, yes, let's just take a little break, review for a season, make sure we have it in there. Because I don't want to lose it, because we did both do 1 Peter together. And then we didn't practice very well, and we both lost 1 Peter.
And I've had that happen. But I would say even then, the process of meditating on it, memorizing it, while you're doing that, God's doing a good work in your heart. So all the much better if you can keep it. I've memorized a lot of scripture. I haven't retained most of it. If I could go back and do my life again, reviewing scripture memory is one thing I would make a bigger deal out of. And it sounds like you've really done that. But, you know, as I hear you talk about you and your sister Jenna and the accountability, it reminds me of that verse in Hebrews that says that we're to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, that we need each other all the more as we see the day approaching, because the enemy tends to get us sidetracked, distracted, giving up, throwing in the towel, forgetting what's really important. But if you have somebody that you're doing it with, it may be your mate, it may be a child, it may be a friend, a sister, that you do, you hold each other up, you keep each other going in the race. And just another illustration, how much we need each other. Might be a walking partner, but you'll do more together. Two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. Ecclesiastes tells us that. And so you and your sister are practicing that. And there may be other areas of your life where it's somebody else who provides that for you. But would you have thought that you could have done this?
No. I mean, I tell people, I teach Bible studies at our church, and I tell women all the time, my challenge is memorize. I said, go for a verse, go for a paragraph. If you think you can do that, go for a chapter. I said, it's addicting. At our women's retreat, I've done a workshop on memorization, and it's all because of Janet Pope's book. And her, when your hands are busy but your mind is free, I've just taken that and run with it. And that's, with having three kids and I homeschool, how I find the time. It's washing dishes, folding clothes, getting ready in the morning. It's grown out of my morning routine. It has to incorporate more now, because to go through that many books takes a bit of time.
Yeah, Janet has been a guest on Revive Our Hearts, and she challenged our listeners to memorize whole books of the Bible. And we've offered her book, His Word in My Heart. In fact, it's available in our resource center. And so if you go to reviveourhearts.com, you can get a copy of that. It sounds like it's not as complicated or daunting as you might think, but it is little by little, one day at a time, one verse at a time, and filling in those cracks and crevices of our lives that otherwise become like wasted time or lost time. But you would think now you've got three children, you're homeschooling, is that right? And so you're a busy mom.
Yes.
But you're finding time to do this. Do your children, do you have them memorizing yet?
They do. They actually, they were doing random verses, but I like the idea of sticking with a whole chapter or a big chunk just so it stays in context. And last year, my daughter asked, she said, I'd like a talking bird. So, well, then you have to memorize the entire New Testament. She said, okay. And I said, okay, we'll go with it. We already have several animals, and I figured I'm safe. And I said, well, let's start. She goes, okay, Matthew 1. I was like, no, not Matthew 1. She's like, no, Matthew 1, if we're starting with the New Testament.
How old is she?
She's 11 now. She'll be 12 in October. And we started, it took a year to learn Matthew 1 with my 10, she was 10 then, but 10 and 7-year-old.
That's a hard chapter.
It's a very hard chapter.
There's a genealogy in there.
It's a lot of genealogy and the hard names. And we took a solid year, but they have Matthew 1, and we recited it at Christmas time at church. And she still is working her way to get her parrot.
She may be a mother herself.
I know. I'm okay with that. I told her, you can have whatever you want if you memorize the entire New Testament. But right now, we've skipped out of the New Testament. We're in Proverbs chapter 2. And my three children are learning that.
I've sometimes said that if I were starting a family and going to parent children from little up, that I would have them memorize the book of Proverbs before they leave home. As an adult, that seems impossible. But I think a lot of children really could do that. But it requires a lot of help and discipline from the parents, too, to prioritize that, to make it important to get the word into your children's lives. Does your husband memorize too?
Not as faithfully as I do. He was doing really good, and then he went moose hunting and got off his schedule.
And that's what you do in Alaska.
Yes, it is. You provide for your family.
But he's supportive
He's very supportive, and he loves it. And he jokes he doesn't have as good of a memory as I do, and I'm like, it's just a matter of making it a priority and setting aside the time. And so he's trying to get back into it again.
Well, I've gotten off it myself. I had a little thing last year, like getting married, and my life has been whole new rhythms. And I'm just getting back into some memorization, and I'm taking baby steps again. I used to do a lot of scripture memory, and just running into you today is a sweet challenge for me. Do you recite aloud to anybody?
The kids and I have done it several times in church, and I've done it. My husband's had me, worked me into sermons.
But even as you're learning it, are you reciting with anybody, saying it out loud, or you just pretty much do it on your own?
I say it out loud to myself. Uh-huh. So my kids actually, I'll go, in the days when the judges ruled, and they go, oh, not Ruth. I'm like, yeah, but it's time for Ruth. Or they had, in the beginning when I started with Philippians, they could actually say the first six verses with me.
So hearing you do it.
Because I would say it in the car, and I would say it during the day, and they... So they would practice with me, and now that I have enough, they just kind of tune me out. And
I had a walking partner for a while, and we used to recite scripture to each other some, and I found it was really helpful to have somebody that you could say it with if you're on the same.
Jen and I have we'll call on, how are you doing, and I'm stuck on this, and we'll try to help each other come up with a little trick for each verse. But I do tell people, if you're going to do it, you have to say it out loud, because if you go to say it to someone— and you've only ever said it in your head, it doesn't sound the same, it doesn't come out right, and so I am reviewing out loud, talking to myself throughout the day.
The best wedding gift I received was when I was getting ready to walk down the aisle.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not
I was at the back of the sanctuary, and my soon-to-be husband was standing at the front, and he recited 1 Corinthians 13. Oh.
Love is patient.
To me.
Mm-hmm. Love is kind.
From down the aisle. And he had been working on that for a long time.
Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth.
And that was a gift that he gave me, and filled with heart. But just the fact that he wanted to spend that time learning that chapter, not just learning it in his head, but that was his desire, was to love in that way. What a gift that was. And it involves scripture memory. Mm-hmm. What kind of impact do you see the scripture making in your life as you're memorizing it?
It changes my attitude. When my youngest was born, I had high blood pressure, and we were trying to figure out what was going on. And I, in the middle of the night when I'm up nursing, would go into deep depression and convince myself I was going to die the next morning. And, you know, you're just, middle of the night, your thoughts go crazy. And I sat there one night, and I could feel myself sinking into that depression. I thought, I'm not doing this. And it's dark, and everyone's asleep. And thought, okay, I'll just practice Philippians. And I didn't even get through chapter one, and I felt lighter, felt joyful again. It was like, no, I have no clue that I'm dying. And here I am 6 years later, totally fine. It was... just hormones and all that. Mm-hmm. So it's helped that. I also have told the story of my husband left me one time to take the kids out when I had a newborn and left the kitchen kind of messy. And he was leaving with the kids so I could clean the house, but he made a huge mess before he left.
And you were kind of
I was a little unhappy. Frustrated. The fish were apparently biting at that moment, and breakfast dishes just needed to be left. And I sat there and went through all my options of I can be mad, I can yell at him when he comes home, I can leave the dishes for him to clean up. And I finally thought, I'll just clean up the kitchen, not going to be happy about it, but I'll practice Philippians while I'm doing it. And I got to verse 23 of Philippians chapter 1. I was like, oh, I'm fine. Who cares? He's out taking the kids. I needed the break. And so there's times where I've struggled with anger and frustration, and it's like, oh, I'll do my verses. I don't want to. And it gets me out of my bad attitude. Or there's times when Jen and I were learning the Sermon on the Mount, something had happened to our family, and we were kind of frustrated with someone who had wronged us. And I called Jenna that morning, like, don't do Matthew. I said, God will talk to you the entire time. You know, you've
That's
heard
the point,
that.
I think.
I think it was, and it was kind of every time. You've heard that was said, but I tell you, it was like God kept saying that person's name, and it was like, fine, I'll forgive, I'll get over it. And I called Jenna, and she's like, I know, I don't even want to think about it yet. But you just see how it just, stuff I have been saying every week for 5 years now still hits me in a new way and in a fresh way. And something happens, and it's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Or Malachi. I was thinking about something the other day, and I was like, God, what do I do in this situation? And a line from Malachi came out.
You memorized the book of Malachi?
We memorized the book of Malachi. And that just came and was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, thanks. I mean, it's just there. It's ready to flow.
It's renewing your mind.
It is. It really is.
And that transforms your life.
Mm-hmm. I think my husband's happy. I'm doing it, and not as grouchy, I'd like to think. But it's an addiction. It really is. To start to get that first chapter, you go, oh, I've got a whole chapter. I never thought I could memorize a whole chapter. And then to get a whole book, it's like, ooh, I can do this again. And I tell women all the time, it's going to change your life. You're constantly meditating on it, because if you do Janet's way of when your hands are busy but your mind is free, you have those times throughout the day where it's like, ooh, I can look at my verse for a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, and it's just, it's
life-changing. So do you have the verses written out on cards?
I did, and chapters are getting longer, so now I've just printed it off, and it's in my bathroom, it's in my kitchen. Before I had an iPhone and all those fun devices, it was notebooks in my purse, so I'd be standing in the line at the post office Christmas time, and the lines are long, and I watched one lady, like, she was stretching and doing all these posts. I'm like, oh, I could do my Bible verses, so I just whip it out and got home, and James was done for the day, and I'm like, there you go, that works. Sitting in the doctor's office, I've sat there, and it's nice to have it in my purse.
Yeah.
So I'm always prepared, and I often go, oh, I'll do this, and then I get stuck, and I need that one little word to get me going again, and so, but it's exciting.
I remember when I was memorizing the 200 verses about Jesus that we recited a couple of years ago, and I had assembled those together. It's different than memorizing a book, because they're coming from different books, but I put that in one document and put it on my iPhone. So anywhere I would go, I would have that with me, and I could be scrolling through it and reviewing it and refreshing it. And it took me several months to do that. And I was thinking about it, saying it when I was awake, when I was sleeping in the middle of the night, I'd wake up, and just having that word going through your heart and your mind all the time really is, it's powerful. It's a word of God.
It's started incorporating into my dreams. I've noticed I'll fall asleep and it's like, oh, I think I was reciting something and I dreamed about it now. So.
What are you memorizing right now?
Right now we're
doing Hebrews
7. Yep.
And tell me, what is the takeaway for you so far? And because you're not just memorizing, you're meditating on it.
I am. It's harder now that I'm on vacation. I will admit, I'm trying. I have my little checkoff list. I think right now just focusing, understanding Hebrews and looking at all the different viewpoints there are on there. And trying to go, okay, how does the old covenant fit with the new covenant? How does what God taught Moses fit with what Jesus has come and done? And trying to really mesh that and go, you know what? It's all God's word and it's all good. So trying to see how that fits into place.
Is that the longest book you've tried to memorize?
Yes. Oh, we have Esther. That's 10 chapters, but they're not all.
Not all as long.
They're not all as long. Chapter 10 only has like 3 verses. So I think when we're done with Hebrews, it will be our longest.
So you do Old and New Testament.
We tend to switch, do New and then switch back to Old, and kind of, and it's been neat to see how God's worked. I forget what we had done before Malachi, but I'm like, well, let's do something in the Old Testament and let's do something short, easy. And so I'm like, well, let's do Malachi. And Jenna said, okay, fine. After we got done with memorizing Malachi, I was approached by our church leadership to say, will you teach the study on Malachi? And it was kind of like, oh, let me think and pray about that. And God goes, you just memorized it. Don't you think you should teach it now? It's kind of like, oh, yeah, good point. So it was nice to have memorized it and then studied it in depth with a group of women and go a little deeper into that one. So it's always neat to see how God has prepared me. Whatever we memorize, he has something with it afterwards. So
are you always reviewing everything you've memorized?
Yes.
Every day?
My goal is every week to have gone through everything. On vacation,
You're on vacation.
I'm on vacation, but I'm also like my checklist person, so I want to check off my boxes. So I think 2 weeks ago, my husband was still with us on vacation, and I skipped 2 of the books. So, but last week, I was proud to say I got them all done, and I'm on course this week to have them all. So I have 5 more hours in the car.
Today.
I might have time
to
get some
trip,
today.
On a road trip.
Yes.
But you also have 99
also
children
have
in the car.
5 kids around me. I might tune them out in practice. Or have my kids. I'm like, okay, it's time to go. Here we go. Proverbs 2. And they go, oh, okay, fine. So it helps to do it with them because it keeps me accountable for my own.
You just wonder what kind of impact that's going to have in their lives long term.
I can't wait to see. I'm like, if I could have started this at your age. My oldest is 11 and my youngest is 6 to think of. And they have to review every week, too. That's part of our school day is saying all their verses. And it's right now it's 3 pages typed out. And so.
You think of getting all that in your hearts.
I love it. I love it.
Anything else that you say in your seminar that would be helpful for just some hints or tips?
I think the big thing is review. I think people think Jenna and I, we did the book of 1 Peter. Oh, also find a translation you like. Back when they were switching between, oh, do we want it? 1984 NIV was going out of stock. That's what we had done. Okay, do we switch over to ESV? And it's a little bit more wordy than the NIV. Mm-hmm. And so we did 1 Peter and ESV, and that one has continued to trip us up for a couple years.
Especially when you're familiar with it in another
yes,
one.
Yes, it doesn't flow. When you're used to NIV, it just flows in a way ESV hasn't. So,
well, I grew up on the King James, mm-hmm. then went to New King James, New American Standard, and mm-hmm. ESV. So that is a challenge that I think the more familiar passages mm-hmm. are actually harder sometimes because mm-hmm. I'm working on Psalm 110 right mm-hmm. now, and not a whole book. It's just seven verses, but I'm having a hard time with that psalm. But part of it is because I've heard it so many times mm-hmm. in other translations. But I think when you find one and stick to it, then it makes you think about it mm-hmm. and concentrate on it in a way that you hadn't. That's one of the really complex psalms. It's a messianic psalm, and it's quoted, I think, 27 times mm-hmm. or more in the New Testament. So it's a really important psalm, but it's a puzzle, it's a little hard to understand who exactly is it talking about. But as I'm memorizing it, I'm focusing on each word, and it's making me think about it. I'm seeing things I've never mm-hmm. seen before and seeing Christ mm-hmm. in the Psalms in a way I haven't seen him before. And seeing also, it's just interesting as I'm memorizing this, you wouldn't think on the surface of it that it has anything to do with my life today, but it really does have amazing application. And even God saying to his son, the Messiah, sit at my right hand mm-hmm. until I make your enemies your footstool. He's saying there's a time to be still mm-hmm. and just wait for God to act. Well, here I am, you know, newlywed and in stuff going on in my life. And one of God's words to me this week through that passage has been, sit and be still and wait for God to act. Well, that's not the main interpretation of that psalm, right. But as I'm meditating on it and memorizing it, it's making application to my heart in a way that I don't think it would have if I just skimmed by it in my daily reading.
Mm-hmm. That also is actually in Hebrews.
The yes,
author
it is.
Of Hebrews quotes that.
Yes, it is.
Several different times.
Yes, he does.
So he often says, somewhere it is said, and Jen and I were laughing. I'm like, I wish you would have just said, in Psalms. There's part of me that goes, I can't wait to meet some of these men when I get up to heaven and go, could you have said it the same way, please? Instead of saying it just a little bit different. So Peter tends to have run-on sentences that are very long. And
Paul, same way.
Paul the same way, but not exactly. And so it's fun now because I can hear, it's fun to sit in church because men will get up and start for before communion or for the sermon and say verses. It's like, oh, I don't have to turn there. I haven't memorized. That's kind of a little internal fist pump going, oh, yeah, I've got it.
I had a pastor when I was a little girl who, when he would serve communion to the elders at the front of the church, he would recite verses that had to do with the cross, that had to do with Christ. I remember Isaiah 53, 1 Peter. He would recite these from memory. And here I am, like a six-year-old child, seven mm-hmm. years old. And I was so not just impressed that he could recite it, but so impacted mm-hmm. by the scripture as he did. And it's just like a shepherd praying scripture over his people. You think about a mom doing that mm-hmm. over her children, doing that over your own heart. Mm-hmm. And just the impact that made on me as a little girl. Mm-hmm. It made me see the value of, because he could have just stood up there and read it, but there's something about reciting it that says, this has been mulled over, mm-hmm. it's been pondered in the heart, and now the overflow is coming out. And I find that when I'm memorizing scripture, it's amazing how when I'm talking with other people or praying with them or in the course of the day, how often that scripture mm-hmm. will come out, and it'll be a word in due season mm-hmm. for somebody who needs exactly what the Lord has been saying to my heart through that scripture. Mm-hmm. Anything you'd like to say to our listeners about just somebody's thinking about, maybe they've heard this conversation and they're challenged.
Just start the challenge. Just pick something. If God is saying to you, you won't regret it. It really has been life-changing. And so, it's just God's word constantly ready to pour over me. When you watch the news, when you get on Facebook, you just are reminded. God's word is right there and ready to speak it to me, and it's amazing how it comes, and it's like, oh, that's what I needed. That's exactly the word I needed today, God. And it just allows him that opportunity for me to stop thinking. And sadly, I did have to stop listening to Revive Our Hearts in the morning so I could use my time for my Bible verses, and I've found other ways to get my Revive Our Hearts in there, my little addiction. But it's
And how do you do that?
The podcast.
So you can listen anytime.
So I can listen anytime. And if there's ever issues, I contact Brian and go, this isn't working right now.
Brian is in charge of those things. So if it's not working, you're his focus group.
I have a nice direct line in going, this isn't working. I need it right now.
And thank you, Veronica.
You're welcome.
We should put you on payroll.
That's okay. But don't let go of this opportunity. Use it. Grab that verse. It doesn't even have to be a whole book. That's what I tell. Start with one verse. Even if it takes you one verse and it takes you a whole year to memorize it, that's one more verse than you had last year. And you have no clue how God will use.
And there are really no shortcuts. I think people, they've seen me quote scripture sometimes or seen you quote it and would think, well, that's just a special gift mm-hmm. she has. And you do get better at it as you do it. But really, there are no shortcuts. Mm-mm. It's over
it's and hard over work.
And over and over again. But I have found that the times that I've been memorizing scripture, it helps with my priorities, mm-hmm. helps with my emotional stability and levels. I'm more hopeful because I'm banking on God's word instead of what is happening in my circumstances. It does have a restraining mm-hmm. factor in my reactions and so many, many areas of benefits as we're, and that's what Psalm 1 promises, mm-hmm. that if we meditate on God's word day and night, which is what you're doing when mm-hmm. you're memorizing, that we will be successful in whatever we do, that we'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water, we'll be fruitful in every season, we won't wither, we won't faint, we won't fade away, that we'll be strong and stable and successful. Who wouldn't want those benefits? Mm-hmm. But it starts with that intake of the Word of God, letting it mold us and fill us and mm-hmm. flow through us. And what a great thing in parenting, too, to have, you know, the Word of God being what you're drawing mm-hmm. on as you're dealing mm-hmm. with issues with those children. I can't think of any area of life that it doesn't positively impact.
Right.
Would your kids be willing to come in and recite a few verses?
They wouldn't be willing, but they would do it.
Hi, guys.
Okay, here we are.
Here, put Chase on my lap.
Which one are we reciting?
I want a picture of you guys. How about? You are so
cute. You want to do Psalm 19? You want to do that one? All right, are you ready?
Yep.
Psalm 19, nice and loud and clear.
Psalm 19.
The heavens declares the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. The earth, the world, the words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion. Like a champion rejoicing to run its course, it rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The Torah of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great rewards. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of grave transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
What difference would it make in your life if you embarked on a quest to memorize scripture the way Veronica Copenhaver has? Veronica has been talking with Nancy about the value of hiding God's word in our hearts. If this topic resonates with you, what specific goal could you set for memorizing scripture in 2017? Would you take a minute to see if this is something God would have you do? Nancy, today's conversation has been encouraging. We've seen how a Revive Our Hearts series has affected one family in practical ways.
Just think of the lifelong effect that memorizing God's Word is going to have on the children that we heard today. These kids are growing up in an environment where it's normal to memorize large passages of Scripture. What a privilege that Revive Our Hearts has been able to have a role in the spiritual growth of this sweet family. But we couldn't do it alone. Listeners like you donated to make Revive Our Hearts possible. And that's why we were able to air the interview about Scripture memory, and it's why Veronica was able to hear that interview and to take on this challenge with her family. Your gift to this ministry really can have far-reaching effects for generations to come. And there's no better time to give than right now. We've been asking the Lord to provide $1.8 million here in the month of December. And that's the amount we need in order to keep speaking into the hearts of women through our various ongoing outreaches, and also to reach the hearts of more women around the world in the year ahead. Now, the time is fast running out to meet this year's goal. So if the Lord has used this ministry to be a blessing in your life, would you just stop right now and ask the Lord if He'd want you to make a special gift here at the end of this week, the end of this month, the end of this year? And then would you contact us and let us know what the Lord is prompting you to give? If you'd like to call us, that number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can go online and connect with us at reviveourhearts.com. Now, as we come to the end of this final program of 2016, could I just take a moment and pray a blessing over you? And, oh Lord, how we thank you for the mercies that you have showered upon our lives this year. I'm thinking back over the past 12 months, and there have been challenges, there have been disappointments, there have been problems, but your grace has been so very, very real. It has been in my life, and I know it has been in each of our lives as we're seeking you and humbling ourselves and crying out to you. You have been there. You have met our needs. And I know that some listening and joining me in this prayer right now, their eyes may be filled with tears as they're still facing some really difficult circumstances. So I pray a blessing on each listener, whatever they're going through at this moment. As this year comes to a close and we turn the page into a new year, oh Lord, thank you that bright mercies shine ahead for us in the year ahead. And you have been faithful to us, and you will continue to be faithful in the days ahead. So thank you, Lord, for these listeners. Thank you for those who've supported this ministry, those who've encouraged us with their emails, their prayers, their multiplying of this message. Thank you for the joy of sitting together each day around your word and soaking it in, taking it in, and then living out together the beauty of the gospel of Christ. Oh, Lord, we're so blessed. And I want to pray a blessing on each listener, on their families. I pray that physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually they might prosper in the days ahead. And I pray that blessing that you've given us in your word there in 2 Thessalonians, the final chapter there, chapter 3. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. And I trust that your New Year's Eve and New Year's Day weekend will be blessed in every way. And we'll look forward to having you join us here on Revive Our Hearts in the new year.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walgamuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.